Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We are really excited because right now, shout out to Van Halen, Joe Beninati, Monumental Sports, joins us. Joe B., of course, the longtime voice for the play-by-play of the Washington Capitals on Monumental Sports Network.
That dude, man.
We are longtime fans and friends with Joe B. Joe B., how are you, man? You ready to get another season going?
Oh, now that I heard the VH interlude there, yeah, it's time. Let's go. Jump right in head first.
Hey, what's the time tonight, Joe? You know I got to know that, man.
So, B. Mitch, we are doing red carpet and pregame performances only tonight, so we're not on the game coverage. But okay. we're doing Caps colors, so definitely on the blue suit, light blue shirt, kind of red tie thing. So it's right. Usually you got to rep the company on this one. You got to rep the team on this one.
Oh, I got you,
Joe B. I'm coming down there, and I also have a blue suit prepared.
Attaboy.
Tonight's an ESPN game. That sucks.
TNT.
Well, they're better than ESPN, but I wanted you in locker, dude.
You'll have us this weekend, I promise, in New York on okay. Long Island Saturday and at Madison Square Garden Sunday.
Huh? Okay. Well, the last time I was in Long Island with you, Joe B., and maybe the only time I've been in Long Island with you, Joe B., was Ovi breaking the record. So is this the first trip back there since Ovi broke Gretzky's number?
Let's see. That would be no, because they came back. They actually went back there afterwards. They had another game in there in April. They played them twice there in April. Early April was the 6th. That was the one that you're talking about with 895. But I think they actually played another regular season game there, which I missed because of a voice issue, if I'm not mistaken. It's all coming back to me. It's only been 30-plus years, guys. You have a lot of memories built up in here. But I'm pretty sure they came back to UBS after that incredible day game where Alex surpassed 99.
All right. Well, let's focus on tonight first. For Washington, what every year is a new year. What are the new pieces? What, you know, we know Oshie retired, but I knew that was coming. Much of the old guard has kind of stepped back. Obviously, you still have Wilson and Carlson. But, you know, this time last year, there was so much focus on Ovechkin's goal chase, of chasing down Gretzky. That has now happened. What is kind of the big focus this year? Is it just, let's try to win a cup?
Guys, I really like this team. When I look at it on paper, and I'm doing that right now, I think from a depth standpoint, they're really good. And this is a team that ran away with the East last year and won the Metro Division outright, ran into a buzzsaw in the second round against Carolina. But what they've done in the offseason, it doesn't look like it's a dramatic change by any stretch, but if I were to go through, and I'll happily itemize a couple of things for you, they're going to play quicker this year. They're going to be a step faster. You're going to have a full season of Ryan Leonard. And Ryan was joining the team right during the great chase last year for Ovechkin, thrown in right after a successful World Junior Championship, a near miss with Boston College in the NCAA Championships. So he was thrown right into the deep end of the pool, and I think you're going to see how much of a talent this player possesses, how much he can bring to the rink this year now that he's had a full training camp. The players around him love him. They still protect him as the little guy, the younger guy at 20. But this is a guy who can play big, who has no fear factor and will play fast. In the offseason, they brought in Justin Sortif, and that name doesn't ring a bell because the player was stuck in a really good system with Florida Panthers, couldn't make their team. Another guy who injects more quickness, more speed. Hendrix LaPierre won a job in the offseason, guys, won the third-line center position, and when he's right, straight-line speed. So you hear what I'm saying. They're going to be faster this year, and that's music to the ears of Spencer Carberry. Spencer's the best coach in the NHL, was last year, and I firmly believe that he is just that. He wants to play fast, did so from the first day he arrived. Now he's got some horses that can really go, and I wouldn't be surprised to see his system really take root this season.
We had Ryan Lennon on yesterday, and basically he's saying, well, they still consider him a rookie. Well, how much does it help him that time he got last year coming into this year?
No doubt, B. Mitch. He more than had his feet wet. Obviously, he was performing in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So he's felt what it's like to stand in that cauldron and have to deal with NHL life in those circumstances. Now he's about to deal with NHL life over a six-month regular season. Think about it. When he arrived on the scene, Alex was six goals away. How much of the spotlight was upon him? Then you go right into a Stanley Cup playoff. But this is a guy who has the pedigree. This is a guy who was on a perennial national championship contender with BC. He's the MVP of the World Junior Tournament. He's a two-time World Junior Champion. He's used to winning. Now he's going to have to get used to being the everyday life of a pro. And it's not just a one-week tournament or a Stanley Cup playoff tournament. It's a six-month grind just to get to the big show. And he'll learn that.
Wow. For sure.
He has no choice.
You know, Joe, one of the crazy parts to last season was the goalkeeping and just how well, I mean, both guys, but, you know, especially Charlie, were playing for a while in the season. Then it kind of like hit a little bit of a lull late in the year, but I feel like last year they were so damn good, and then the chase kind of took over and everything shifted a little, and it was hard to kind of shift back for the playoffs. Did you view kind of that similarly last year? And is that something that, because they won't have it this year, maybe they'll be in a better position?
Yeah, I think it will be to their benefit, just from the treetops point of view. When you're watching it from where we were covering from a media standpoint, from a game-by-game, play-by-play, and color standpoint, that was a lot of pressure on a lot of people, not just number eight. Obviously, there was an entire team that was trying to get Ovechkin to a seemingly unbreakable record, and the focus was enormous. No, that's not there. Yeah, there'll be focus on 900. That's coming soon for Alex. If you keep him healthy, you never know how far he'll go beyond 900 this year, and I can't wait to see how that unfolds. But for the rest of the squad, this is a return to, hey, this team came out of the chute last year, shocked everybody in the first 3 months, and wound up running away with the division and winning the Eastern Conference in the regular season. Let's prove to people that this team is just as good or better. And I like it when the handicappers sit there and say, you know, maybe this is the season now. The chase is over. They're going to take a step back. No, if they hear that enough, they'll use that as fuel. That will feed them, and they will look to prove people wrong. And it starts with the guys you were talking about in the net. Logan Thompson is an unbelievably competitive person. And if you tell him he can't do it with this particular team or that particular national team, or he's not good enough for that, he will sit there and show you, okay, watch. And now both of those guys played to the level where they've earned long-term, lucrative deals, and they give the Caps a goaltending tandem that most teams around the NHL would envy. You can't go wrong with either of those two guys. This year, and judging by what Logan did last year, Thompson is your number one. Charlie has the perfect mindset to be the backup. He'll push him when necessary, but I think you get that two-thirds, one-third split that's normally what you see when you have a confirmed number one, as opposed to last year when there was a lot of, hey, your turn, my turn, my turn, your turn. They'd alternate. I think Logan gets to run with the ball more this year, but the two of them together give you everything you need in that defensive end.
Joe B, Alex has been the guy who led the way all forever, okay? He got me totally sold on hockey. What would be expected of Alex this year?
Great question. At age 40, right? And at 21, this will be 21 seasons in the business for the great eight.
Damn.
The thing I consistently say to people and anybody who will listen, this man doesn't behave like a 40-year-old who's at the end of the trough and is just waiting to waiting to slide away. This guy doesn't. He is as excited today as he might have been 21 years ago. He just loves the sport that much. I don't think he's jaded to it at all. And we've seen him for years celebrate goal scoring like few others and drive up numbers like few others. And now there's nobody better than him when it comes to all-time regular season goals. He has a great deal of pride as well. And just like I was saying with regard to Logan and this whole team, in fact, if you cast doubt upon that guy, do so at your own peril. All he does is exceed expectations. Ah, he's 39 years old. There's no way he's going to, boom, breaks his leg and still gets 44. Well, yes, he's 40 years old now. There's no way he's going to, okay, watch. It's just what he does. So you doubt him at your own peril. He has the love of the game. I think he loves this particular group, this team that's around him, and especially the team in the future. I'm not here to say that this is his last kick. Time will tell. Alex will tell ultimately if this is the last year. We don't know. But I can tell you he really loves the prospects, the way they drafted. Ross Mahoney and his draft staff have done, a group of scouts, have done a brilliant job of adding in lots of talent and size in particular, especially up front. Lots of guys who are 6'5", 6'6", who are players, not plumbers. These guys are players. And 7 feet
on skates.
Alex sees that and he gets energy from it.
I like that.
So what's the record for seasons?
Oh, gosh. Gordy, maybe, or Chelios.
Gordy Howell?
Chelios, Gordy.
How many years did Gordy Howell play?
Well, Gordy played into his 50s.
Damn.
Wow.
That's not going to happen with the grade eight. I'm telling you, no.
Gordy's like, hell, I ain't got nothing else to do that I want to do. I want to keep playing hockey. I'm not going
home. Yeah, he played a long time.
He knew he had a honey-do list waiting on him.
And saw his sons enter the game and enter the pro ranks. Alex is, again, damn, that's a personal goal for me. I think I might have shared this with you guys. A personal goal for me is to stay in the booth long enough to see Alex's boys in the NHL score their first goals. That would be wonderful. Wow. That's got to be 13 years away, though. Alex is not playing at age 53. Trust me.
No.
No, man.
That's a long damn time, bro. If he does, we're going to be trying to get some of his blood to figure out what the hell he's made of.
Yeah.
How many goals would that be, boys? How many goals would that be?
Oh, my Lord. Too many.
I could not do that math. What about Wilson? He last year showed that the kind of the national reputation of his is way off base, that he is far more than just a big, strong, tough guy, that he can be a big-time scorer. How's Willie looking coming into the season?
Really good, strong, amazingly well-conditioned. And I think we know that with Tom. He's so dedicated in the off-season. And a lot in the way that I've seen Tom Wilson mature into an all-around terrific hockey player, we saw the same with regard to Alexei Protas. You know, a lot of the times we meet these guys, JP and B. Mitch, we meet them at age.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You got me mesmerized. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Moments ago, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn addressed the media, getting everybody ready for what is a little bit of a different week with Monday Night Football on the horizon. Here is the Commanders head coach.
Update on what you expect from Terry and Noah specifically in practice today and then this week.
You'll see Noah out of practice today. Terry won't, and then with the extra day, we'll just kind of work our way through with Terry to see where we're at, and just kind of watch as we're going through it with he and Noah both.
And then looking back at that game against the Bears last year, what was the impact you think? Obviously, Jaden was having a good year before that play, before that game. But was there an impact on him after that game or even on the team in general?
Well, I think for one, I think he showed a lot of toughness. You know, he was coming back from getting banged up. And I thought for him, you know, like that just kind of solidified, I guess, what we already knew about the toughness and who he is and what he does. I think past that, man, just some belief, John. That would be the one, you know, thing that you're never out of the fight.
With Noah, I mean, what was sort of your expectation after he, you know, suffered the injury he did in minicamp? And is he still dealing with lingering effects from that injury?
No. Yeah, this is separate.
Okay.
And so when he had the knee from earlier, that part's doing better. So at Green Bay, that's when he injured the groin. So he's doing well. He's getting closer. And so, like, with the extra day, that certainly helps. But we'll just see where the week takes us with he and Terry both.
And Bobby Engram, you know, the work he's done with some of the younger wideouts,
yeah,
Luke and Jalen, how has he helped them develop in the last year, 2 years?
Yeah, it's he's an excellent coach, Nikki. And he's got perspective. He's got insight. Like, today he presented to the team. And so different guys on different days will present some things. And so he was one that went today. He and Ken both did. We talked about tackling, breaking tackles, and just perspective, examples, teaching. And so when you have that kind of, like, excellent world-class level teaching, you know it gets through. And so over and over, and that's why even this year added him into some of the team presentations, just because of that.
Dan, when you guys were in the midst of kind of deciding the running back room, obviously Brown was its own situation, but did you look at which the guys that were coming back along with Bill and go, this could work? Like, it may be different. We won't have a bell cow, but this could work if we want to go down that road. And did that make it easier to kind of pull the trigger on Brian?
Yeah, I think because you also had Austin into that space as well. And so which, you know, guys could you feature into the different spots? And we're comfortable doing that, David, about, you know, whether it's on offense or defense. That's a fine, but we're good. The but what it does push you towards is what's the things that somebody can do best. And we felt they were complementary in their own ways. And I love how Bill's continuing to progress. And then there's like a consistency side with Chris, with Jeremy, that also feeds into him too. I wish I could explain their support of one another and how they get better and grow. But having proof and examples of that from those, you know, three, and including, you know, Austin from the training camp, yeah, that definitely gave us vision. This is a talented group. I knew it was going to be a good group going into camp. We felt that would be one of the more competitive ones there, and tight end or two offense that and offensive line that speak to, like, and the whole room was very competitive. You could feel the energy of, like, man, this rep counts, this day counts.
I'm sure you've already been asked 700 questions about the Hail Mary. I just wondered what's going through your mind as you see the ball in the air, just like, and you know the likelihood of this working is very small. Like, what's
very
going through?
Yes, I would say, and one, I don't mind the question. It was one of the most fun chapters of last year. It is last year's story. It's not this year's. But probably, like most of us, there's like the longer a scramble goes on a Hail Mary, at least you know the play is, the ball is going to get off. So you're not looking down the field too early, but to make somebody miss, you're waiting, and then probably, like most of us, a collective gasp. And so I don't know if there was a lot of activity in that waiting and not knowing. And so, like, that's probably the space that I was at. But it's a play that's also, and I think Aaron Rodgers has probably been one of the best that I've seen going against it, of buying time, when to go, how high you have to throw it to create trajectory to go down, because you have to have time for the players to get down the field so far. So it's something that the guys work on. But, yeah, it was rare and fun and all those things.
Hi, Coach. On the same topic, when you're helping the guys prepare this week, how much do you talk about that play and the end of that game versus recognizing Chicago's a different team this year and you have a whole different week of preparation ahead?
Yep, that was the first I talked about it right there.
You haven't adjusted with the team at all?
Zero.
Do you plan to?
None.
Gotcha. That's all I had. Thanks.
It's last year's story. You know, like, it was awesome. We loved it. but like doesn't apply to this week's game at all unless we get into that exact scenario and that exact situation. So then we can talk about it. But until then, like, we got a lot of stuff to get better at and work on to get ready.
Not that play specifically, but Jaden's ability to extend plays, get out there, keep things alive. How does that have an impact on the offense as a whole, knowing, you know, the next play could be a big play?
Yeah, that's where some of the explosives come from. I was pleased to see Barry in some of the plays. We didn't complete one in the end zone, but I thought he remained a passer and did a nice job of ripping one down into the end zone at L.A. And so that's a big deal. When do I take my shot to go? When do I remain a passer? And as long as you're staying with your eyes downfield and being aggressive, they have to stay back, which allows some scrambles to take place, because if they do, you can rip it. But we do practice it. Just like you practice many other things, sometimes just we've done this route against this coverage. Now it's time to get outside the pocket, and the second play would begin. So it is something that we practice. It's not, you know, five or six times in a practice because it's an off-schedule play, but you do have to practice it. And there's certain routes that come from that play and where we would go, but it does take work. And with somebody, you know, who's athletic as he is, you can see why I'll just run for it, and knowing that, like, there's actually a bigger one, you know, on the other side of it.
Talked about it some more.
Yes.
I saw that Sam Cosmi last week was a full practice participant, but ultimately didn't play. I guess what's the next step for him to be able to get over that final hump?
He did a lot of reps last week. We practiced him 2 days because we left, you know, and he stayed back. So he'll get the full week of practice. He'll work both scout team and, you know, with the offense. So we're not putting any space other than just, man, just go play and get your technique right and allow his eyes to trust that. He's put himself in a good spot with all the work that he's done. But I'm just going into the week with fresh eyes, you know, like we did the walkthrough today, got reps there, he's getting reps in the practice today. So let's just see where it goes. The padded practice tomorrow, that's a big factor. That'll be his first time doing that as well.
You've had Chris Paul and Andrew Wiley playing well at guard the last couple of weeks. I know they're playing different spots, but are they sort of in competition with each other to determine who's going to be the other guard starter besides Cosmi?
Yeah, I'd say there's competition all the time, but, you know, as we're going into it, you know, let's wait till he gets back and gets going. I think that's more appropriate for it, because even then, you know, how much are we going to go right when he does get back? So I think we got, you know, some time to work through where we want to get to there.
Dan, there's been obviously moving parts, injuries, things like that, especially on offense. Debo's been available and seems to just produce week in and week out. How much has he meant through the first 5 weeks to your success?
Yeah, he's meant a lot. I think it's the competitive nature also that he brings. I think we've all seen him, you know, different ways he can be featured. So he's from kick returning, he's done it out of the backfield, catching, down the field route. So I'm pleased with the trajectory that he's headed. The next steps, you know, different spots, different locations, you know, and so he's making all the right moves for us. And so we just want to keep him on this trajectory and where he's at and how we're going. But it's the competitive nature that he brings into the play. Sometimes there was a screen the other day that, you know, could have been 2 yards gained. And I think it ended up being 8 just by the sheer force and nature that he entered into the tackling. And so plays like that, they may not show up big on the stat sheet, but they just convert into the next one and into the next one. And so he's had a lot of those so far.
Dan, Dorrance Armstrong has had a really strong start to the season. He's already duplicated his sack total from last year. He has 5 sacks. What's made him so effective this season?
I think he's got versatility, that he's able to work more this year inside, outside, different spots, knowing when to take a shot. And so that's a big piece for us. You know, the addition of Vaughn and Jacob and where we can feature him and Luvu and how we do it. So I think it's allowed his ability to match up on guards, be out on both sides. So just the versatility that he can play a number of spots, I think that's the big reason to it.
And since you've arrived, you guys have played really well at home, and you have another opportunity on Monday, primetime game, national spotlight. How much of a point of emphasis when you arrived is to kind of protect home field, kind of feed off the crowd, create an environment where it's going to be a tough place to play for anybody?
Yeah, we want that. We've got to demonstrate that to the fans, you know, and make sure they know how hard we want to play for them, and in return, make it such a loud environment that it can be challenging and they can affect the game with snap counts and other things that go into that. So it's definitely something that we don't take for granted. And like that's why we're so pumped to be back home after a couple weeks on the road, to get back at Northwest and get rolling with everybody.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
You guys have the best running attack in the NFL right now, yet your third down percentage is, I think, probably not as high as you would like it to be. How do those two things kind of marry to each other, and what is it going to take for your offense to get that number higher?
Yeah, two things I think we're still digging in on, like most things. We're still trying to get better at, you know, some of our pre-snap fouls. We've had some of those that knock us into some longer ones. And the third downs, as you referenced, to say, can we, how many of these can be smaller and closer, as opposed to ones that have more time and distance onto them? So they do tie together. When do we, you know, the thirds that are medium compared to thirds that are long. And so those are definitely ones that do tie together. But it's definitely, as you know, we talked about, our leveling up. That's one of them. And as a coach, you get to spend more time on some certain areas, and how do we affect that both ways? And so third downs, I think, you know, a big piece for us. And in Chicago, that's one of the things that they do excellent.
And then just any updates you might be able to provide on Brandon Coleman, kind of how he's moving along behind the scenes?
Yep. I was pleased to see the practice out of BC last week, what he did, how he played, and then we'll go back through the whole thing again. But I thought he threw a really good week last week, and it's a good group that we have. And so it is high competition, and we'll continue to play it out. But I was pleased with what I saw last week, and we'll head that into this week as well.
Dan Quinn not here to talk about the Hail Mary. That was last year. This is this year.
Yes.
Turn the page, folks. Seems like that's what Ben Johnson wants, too, for Chicago. New teams, new game. Looking forward to Monday night. Noah Brown back on the practice field. Let's see what other updates we get from.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mashburn, make a couple bets. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Football Talk on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Been a lot of NFL talk and an exciting day. Noah Brown back on the practice field for Washington. Terry not there yet, but he's got, I don't know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Got some time.
Got easy 4 days to get it figured out.
Got some time.
I'm guessing that if DQ kind of says you got to practice before you can play, he'll give him all the way to Saturday to play. So we'll be watching that all week. The other thing we'll be watching, starting tonight, Caps season opener, B. Mitchell Finley, AAA poll of the day. What are your expectations for the Caps this season? Contenders, playoffs, miss the playoffs, or a tough year? I'm saying contenders, B.
Contenders, brother. Because they started it up. Like you stated earlier, while they were trying to get Alex the record, they were getting younger.
Yep.
And those young guys were performing. You look at the young man we had on yesterday, Leonard, he basically got a lot of experience
right
last year in a serious way. So it should be not a big step for him this year.
The AAA poll of the day is brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/Commanders. All right, Landfill, let's make some bets.
Everybody not named Brian won.
Let's go. So B is 0-2, and I'm 2-0?
What did I take last night, Brian?
Blue Jays plus 1.5.
They lost
that
by 3.
That Yankees comeback was kind of wild.
An early bleep y'all for hating. And we taking the Yankees with my man Schlittler. I got it right that time, Landini. On the mound tonight, baby.
He been practicing that all day.
He was really good.
He been practicing that all day.
In the first round, or the wild card round, whatever the hell they call that.
And yes, B. Mitch, I was practicing the entire break before we came back.
Oh, I know. You went too quick with it.
You know what I'm doing just on principle?
What's that?
You know there's football on tonight?
Is it?
Dog, there's 2 football games tonight.
Ooh, college?
Yes. Missouri State at Middle Tennessee and Liberty, a DMV team, traveling to UTEP. Liberty playing University of Texas El Paso on a Wednesday night in October. What a time to be alive.
There's football every day until the 26th of November.
So they're going to start having Tuesday night games, Landfill?
I don't know, college football or something.
Right, but I mean, if you're saying there's – dude, Liberty plays on a Tuesday next week. So I got to be honest. The whole world's betting Liberty on the road in El Paso.
I'm in on this too, JP. I'm with the Dodgers.
Yamamoto?
Give me the Dodgers and the Cubs.
What'd you take, Landfill?
I'm taking Big Dumper to get 2 or more combined hits, runs, and RBIs.
Landfill, after yesterday with that Popeyes, I'm not sure you should be calling anybody Big Dumper. Should,
you are the Big Dumper.
I'm money, baby.
I'm taking Liberty, dude. Give me the Flames. The fighting Denton Days on the road in Texas. I think I'm – what am I laying? A point, White Brian? Point and a half? Go Flames, yeah, dude. Go football on a Wednesday night in October. Thank you to everybody that listened to the show today. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us. Thank you to Ben Standing for joining us. And thank you to Joe Beninati for joining us. Fun day today. We'll be back tomorrow. Big game tomorrow night, Eagles-Giants. I'm looking forward to watching that one. Grant and Danny all fired up. I think Grant and Danny are
picking. All right, I'm going to the game. I'll tell the people you the guy talk trash about Philly.
I'm all good there. I believe Grant and Danny are at Penn Quarter Sports Tavern getting ready for the Caps game tonight. If you're around the area, go say what's up to the boys.
We've had some good nights over there, dog.
Dude, Penn Quarter Sports Tavern is fun, and the food is banging. Shout out to Mike Brand. Thank you for listening. You made it as far. I owe you a beer.
Did the cake stand there?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.